Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. With each deadly mass attack, there's always the question, why? This week in Toronto, possible answers take on strange, disturbing new shapes in the wake of the van attack that killed 10 and injured a dozen more. Minutes before the attack, the suspect posted a cryptic Facebook message referencing an incel rebellion. So-called incels, or involuntary celibates, are mostly young men enraged that women won't have sex with them. That anger is distilled down into a dangerous diamond-hard purity on the internet. And in Toronto, it's made the deadly crossover into real life. This hour on Point, incels, toxic masculinity, and what we can do. You can join us on air or online. Have you ever heard of incels? Misogyny has always been on the internet, but are some forums now radicalizing self-hating young misogynists into dangerous new directions? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Now, one quick note before we go any further, because of the nature of what we're going to be discussing this hour, just a warning here, the conversation may not be appropriate for everyone. Well, joining me first from Toronto, Canada, is Jennifer Yang. She's an identity and inequality reporter for the Toronto Star. She's been writing about the Toronto van rampage. We have a link to her stories about it at onpointradio.org. Jennifer, welcome to On Point.
Thank you very much for having me.
You know, so this terrible attack happened a couple of days ago, and I see that only now we're starting to learn a little bit more about who some of the victims were. What can you tell us about them?
Yeah, so 10 people were killed in this attack, sadly. And the part of Toronto where this attack took place, I mean, all of Toronto is incredibly diverse, but this intersection in particular really was home to a lot of people from a lot of parts all over the world, primarily from Korea, people from East Asia, and I think people from Iran as well. And what we do know is that I think 5 people affected by this attack are from Korea. 2 of the deceased, I believe, are Korean. And we also have one of the victims who is a woman from Sri Lanka who was a single mother of a young boy, and he is now left without any parents. And there has been a GoFundMe page created to raise money to help him out. Mm-hmm. There's also some victims who are elderly. There is a woman named Betty, and she was living with cancer, and she was, I believe, in her 90s, walking in the neighborhood with her walker, which was something she was known to do. And a terrible security cam video actually recently emerged that appeared to show an elderly person being hit by this van, and it's just a terrible, terrible scene all around.
Now, so, I mean, when the attack first occurred and in the hours and the day or two afterwards, we were hearing that most of the victims may have been women. Has that been borne out?
So some of the victims have yet to be identified, but from the way it's looking right now, it does appear that most of them are women. Although I think police have said that there's no indication at this time that the driver aimed at specific people, but the picture emerging does seem to say that most of the victims are women.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're going to get, in a moment, I just want to talk to you, Jessica, about the manner in which the suspect was arrested, because that's a huge part of this this story. But about this Facebook post that the suspect is said to have put up just before he went on this rampage, which is what gets us into this whole conversation about the so-called incels. What was this Facebook post, and why was it so strange and sort of opened up this whole new world to us?
There are so many strange things about this Facebook post, and I'll say the first thing that was so strange about it was just, it was very hard to determine whether or not it was legitimate or not. And I think to this point, there's still a lot of questions around this post. You know, how was it posted? When was it posted? Was it actually him that posted it? It certainly did appear on his Facebook post, and the police have confirmed they're looking into it. But the message of the post, you know, I think confused a lot of people, referred to things like the incel rebellion.
Yeah, it said the incel rebellion has already begun. We will overthrow all the Chads and Stacys. All hail the supreme gentleman, Elliot Rodger.
Exactly. And a lot of people are like, what the heck is this about? But, you know, I think a lot of that terminology would be familiar to people who are familiar with corners of the internet where incels like to gather and have discussions. So incels, I guess that is a sort of short-term version of involuntary celibates, and they're primarily young men who are frustrated by their inability to have sexual relationships. A lot of incel forums online are characterized by extreme misogyny and anti-feminism. Mm. There's a sort of entitlement to sex that is expressed often. And Elliot Rodger, of course, is the U.S. Mass murderer who I believe he killed six people after posting manifestos where he expressed his sexual frustration and his anger towards women who rejected him.
Yeah, 2014 in California. Mm-hmm.
That's right, yeah. And I think he's come to be regarded as kind of a patron saint of the incel community. People in these forums often talk about him in sort of worshiping terms, or even urge others to follow in his footsteps. The acronym, you know, ER, or pulling an ER, often refers to doing something similar to what he did. It's hard to know how serious any of this talk is, but of course, that's all being discussed now in light of what's happened.
Well, we'll talk about that more in just a moment. And Jennifer, I apologize. I called you Jessica a couple of minutes ago. My apologies. But before I let you go, because we're going to talk about this world of incels with other folks in more detail in just a moment, but I do want to ask you about the law enforcement response and sort of what's going to happen to the suspect here in the immediate future, because part of why what happened in Toronto has really garnered the world's attention comes around the fact about how Officer Ken Lamb, who confronted the suspect, how he handled this situation. I mean, we have some cell phone video that was republished by the Toronto Star, taken at the time of the confrontation between Toronto police officer Ken Lamb and the suspect in the van attack. Here's that video.
Come on, get down!
So you hear the suspect there saying, I have a gun in my pocket, shoot me in the head. And Officer Lamb just keeps repeating, get down, get down. And not only did he not shoot the suspect, he didn't shoot him at all and de-escalated the situation and successfully arrested the 25-year-old. Toronto Deputy Police Chief Peter Yuan is saying that Ken Lamb doesn't want to be called a hero.
He wants the public to not to call him a hero. He's Officer Ken Lamb. He's real. He's got a name. He's got a badge. He's not a hero. And he wants every police officer to be known as that, because we all come to work. We want to do the right thing. And that's why we became police officers.
Jennifer, I mean, this is just an incredible part of this story. I mean, how are folks in Toronto reacting to this?
Yeah, the reaction is in a way split, but there are certainly so many people who are praising this police officer who really reacted commendably under what I would imagine would be the sort of most stressful situation you could find yourself in as a police officer. And I think how he handled himself is kind of now set the bar for how these kinds of takedowns can be done. Mm. But the other reaction has been kind of one coming from a place of pain, because there has been a lot of discussion in Toronto about police shootings of people. They tend to be primarily black suspects who did not necessarily pose a threat to the public, or people feel that they could have been taken down in sort of less violent ways. So that has been a point of discussion here, and I think a lot of people have also expressed a lot of pain seeing this video.
Yeah.
Because it shows that a lot of times when people are shot by police that, you know, there really was an alternative way to handle the situation.
Interesting. And Jennifer, one last quick question. I mean, so the suspect was apprehended. He's in custody. What's likely to happen next? Is he going to make another court appearance anytime soon?
Yeah, he will certainly make another court appearance appearance soon, but I'm not exactly sure on the timing of that. He does face 10 counts of first-degree murder charges, and currently I believe he faces 13 counts of attempted murder in connection to the people that were injured, but there were 14 people injured, so I think a 14th charge will be laid on that front soon, if not already.
Well, Jennifer Yang is identity and inequality reporter for the Toronto Star. She's been reporting about the Toronto van rampage. Jennifer, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Well, back to this deeper question of the world of so-called incels that this terrible van attack has now shed some light on. Again, this Facebook message that was supposedly put up by the suspect: the incel rebellion has already begun. We will overthrow all the Chads and Stacys. All hail the supreme gentleman, Elliot Rodger. I mean, to find out what more that's all about and this world of incels, let's turn to David Futrell. He's joining us from Chicago via Skype. He is a journalist who tracks the manosphere on his website, We Hunted the Mammoth. He's done so since 2010, and he's reported a lot on the world of incels. David, welcome to On Point.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so first of all, I mean, in incels, how do you define or describe who makes up this group and who are they?
Well, it's a group that's made up, I think, mostly of young men basically what happens is that they are frustrated with their romantic and sexual lives. Oftentimes they're virgins. And they begin to feel that, like, the world has done them wrong, and that women in particular have done them wrong by ignoring them and paying attention to, you know, guys that are that the incel types think are, you know, basically jerks and bullies. That's what they mean by Chads. Chad is sort of their imagined version of the sexually successful male,
yeah,
who basically looks like a jock out of an 80s teen movie or something.
Well, I want to hear a lot more from you about this. We just have to take a super quick break. David Futrell is joining us from Chicago via Skype. He's a journalist who tracks the manosphere on his website, We Hunted the Mammoth. We've got a link to his story headlined, Involuntary Celibates Want You to Think They're Victims, They're Anything But. It's at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Ever listen to the news and wonder, is there anything good happening out there? I'm Mindy Thomas from NPR's Wow in the World. And each week, Guy Raz and I take you and your kids on wild adventures to explore the most wow-worthy news stories on the planet. Find Wow in the World on Apple Podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about so-called incels after the Toronto van attack, the deadly Toronto van attack, and also more broadly about toxic masculinity on the internet. I'm joined today by David Futrell. He's with us from Chicago via Skype. He tracks the manosphere on his website, We Hunted the Mammoth. He's been doing that since 2010. And the manosphere, by the way, is an informal network of blogs and forums that are often anti-feminist, virulently so, and it includes incels. We have a link to some of David's reporting at onpointradio.org. Now, David, so tell me a little bit more about sort of where these incel forums are on the internet, and what kinds of conversation, what exactly is getting inflamed in these closed online worlds?
Yeah, I mean, basically what happens is, like I was saying, the guys who are sort of drawn to this are guys who sort of feel, you know, romantically slighted, and which is something that almost everyone feels at some point in their life. But what happens is that they end up stumbling into these communities where they end up in a sort of echo chamber where these people you know, essentially have an entire ideology that leads them to believe that essentially they're being conspired against by the women of the world, that their great injustice is being done to them, that there's nothing that they can do about it, and it basically increases their anger at women, mostly at other men, but also increases their own self-loathing as they sort of convince each other that they're too ugly or too hideous to ever get the attention of women.
I mean, is there in the way they talk about this, is there a sort of a presumption of their right to women's bodies and that they're being denied such a right?
Yeah, I think in some cases they're very blunt about it. They sort of feel that they'll say things like that, you know, the government owes them. Occasionally they'll say, well, you know, we should have the government should assign us all girlfriends and that would solve the problem. Or the government should provide us with free legalized prostitution because we're basically being denied something that is our right.
Yeah.
And, you know, essentially they don't take seriously the idea that other people have to consent to sex. They think that's an injustice against them. I mean, what's I think insidious about it is that, I mean, people can wander into these communities from places like Reddit, which was one of the main, there was the incel subreddit on Reddit, which was one of the most popular incel communities online. And so people who are browsing Reddit for any number of reasons may end up running across that and then, you know, sort of falling into this world. And Reddit ultimately banned that subreddit because of the sort of violent language and threats and just general horribleness that was going on inside of it.
Actually, David, hang on for just a second.
Sure.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we actually have a caller who's speaking to exactly
sure.
this point. So let me just
sure,
bring
definitely.
This other caller in. This is David, the caller David, who's calling us from Medina, Ohio. David, you're on the air.
Hello, Meghna. Yes, I did call in. I wanted to comment about everything that David had mentioned about, you know, what a chat is, and specifically about how I became aware of them on the Reddit community. The way I became aware of them was generally in a kind of sense of mocking. People are always going, oh my gosh, look what this nightmare that's going on the incel sub. Because the various different forums on Reddit are mm-hmm. called subreddits. So they would say on that sub, go look at this, you know, nightmare of logic that's going on over there. And to confirm with why they got banned, yeah, there was a lot of sense of entitlement. They do kind of view that a sexual experience with a woman is a public resource that they should not be excluded from. A lot of posts were put up on there and usually, you know, poked fun at, but it was very disturbing to see that there's a mass amount of these people that
yeah.
really think that if you are friends with a girl and act like a gentleman, that down the road, she is obligated to perform a sexual act for you.
David, thank you so much for your call. David Futrell, let me turn back to you. And given
sure.
what David has said about, you know, like what he's seen on those Reddit subreddits, I mean, there's a point at which I wonder, okay, a lot of this can be terrible and tragic, et cetera, but is there something more going on that's of great danger to a lot more people in the real world in terms of, you know, for example, what we saw happen exactly in Toronto? Because you've reported that the Southern Poverty Law Center has listed incels as a hate group now. Is that the extent of the language that they're sharing with each other?
Well, I don't know that the SPLC has officially designated them a hate group yet. I mean, they certainly by my definition they would count as that. I think what's especially dangerous about these forums is that they become these sort of ideological echo chambers that radicalize the people that come into them. And what they do is essentially is do two things. They sort of whip up the anger and bitterness of these guys at women and to some degree at men, or at least the guys that they see as being, you know, successful with women. At the same time, what they do is they is they tear down the self-esteem of these guys as well by, you know, causing them to fixate on what they see as physical flaws, you know, it's the physical flaws that'll keep them from ever being able to date women. Like they manage to convince themselves that if, that any guy who's less, who's not taller than 5 foot, you know, 10 or something like that will never get a date. Or that if they're literally, if their eyebrows aren't sloped the right way, they'll be incapable of getting a date. And it's, it becomes this sort of almost, you know, it's you know, sort of worse than an eating disorder in some ways. But then what, so then what you get is you get a bunch of angry, very depressed guys who have no faith that anything is, can change these things. And that's just, you know, that's a breeding ground for precisely the sort of thing that we saw in Toronto. And I've been afraid of this for some time. When I write about them, I keep saying that people are going to get killed, because that's the sort of, it's really one of the most, of all the misogynistic communities I looked at online, this is, I think, the most frightening because of that dynamic that happens inside the incel communities.
Yeah, so just wanted to add sort of a clarification here that the Southern Poverty Law Center has added male supremacy to the ideologies it tracks on its hate map this year. But going back to what you were just saying here, I mean, as I hear you describe the ideologies, the language used, the rhetoric in these incel groups, and that it, in a sense your worst fear was realized with what happened in Toronto. I mean, does it differ at all from other sort of radicalizing groups that we've seen on the internet?
I haven't done like a direct comparison with things like, you know, ISIS or you know, neo-Nazi groups. I do think it's a bit of a different dynamic in that it's sort of much more that if you're dealing with, say, white supremacists, you're dealing with groups of people and groups of people that often know each other in real life and, you know, who do some of their, you know, activism in terms of in terms of setting up demonstrations and such in the real world. Whereas with incels, it's all on the internet, and these are very isolated, atomized individuals. But, you know, that doesn't stop them from being dangerous, because obviously someone who feels that they have nothing to lose can cause a great deal of damage,
right?
And death.
I mean, it's the internet itself that allows it all to metastasize, though, as fast and as angrily as it does.
Right. I mean, in your ordinary life, you're not likely to meet, if you're a depressed teen boy who's you know, upset about his romantic prospects, you know, you're not going to find amongst your friends people who are going, oh, you know what, you know, you are entitled to sex, and the government should provide you with a girlfriend, and by the way, it's funny when women get beaten up and all this. You're not going to find someone with that extreme an ideology in your real life, but you can find a whole bunch of them on the internet and basically spend all your time on the internet talking to these people.
David, stand by here for just a second, because we've got a lot of comments online about this conversation, about incels. A listener on Twitter, Jay Kimmel, tweeted that, quote, incels are not owed sex or relationships. This is male, mostly white privilege rising to the top and turning itself into victimization. Incel folks need to find help for their issues and not simply internet diagnose or blame women for their issues. Hashtag counseling. Now, to that point, let me turn to Sam Louie, who joins us from Seattle. Sam is a psychotherapist based in Seattle who specializes in behavioral addictions. He's treated patients who are incels, and we have a link to his article headlined "The Incel Movement, the Sexual, Social, Recreational, and Racial Implications." It's on our website, onpointradio.org. Sam Louie, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Meghna. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, so help us understand this community a little more. You heard all that David Futrell was saying. Why is it that so many of these young men are, or I guess the ones that reach you, are reaching out for counseling? But, and just what are the kinds of things, as much as you can tell us, protecting the anonymity of your of your clients? What can you tell us about what they say?
Yeah, the ones that reach me, they may have been in these message boards and finally recognized that this was just a negative cycle of not only self-shaming, but also the anti-feminism, the blaming, the externalization, without ever taking a look at themselves and how they might be able to change and or be willing to have some of their beliefs challenged. So that's what I do.
Yeah. And I mean, have you spoken to anyone in this community since the van attack? I mean, how has the response from incels themselves been to the attack?
So they don't describe themselves as incel at this point because they can identify with the mindset, but at the time, the word had not been as popular. But they can still identify and in some cases even sympathize with what had occurred in Toronto and some of the other incidents.
Sympathize meaning what?
They understand what the Manassian character may have been going through emotionally, if he identifies as an incel. And also the hatred, because I was shocked when at least one of my clients said, yeah, you know, back 10, 15 years ago, I had that level of rage. I had that level of animosity where I wanted to hurt somebody else. And I was like, oh, that was a different, I'd never expected that. I was kind of shocked when he said that, because by the time I was working with him, he had seen other therapists before. And one aspect that I focus on is also the multicultural piece. And that's another piece that he was trying to allude to, that I know that people say this is white, heterosexual, Caucasian, maybe so, but there are a lot of folks who are ethnic who feel this way as well, because that adds another layer of shame if they're ethnic in a majority culture and aren't fitting in.
Yeah.
That just, you know, all the stereotypes that go with certain cultures and dating and masculinity get compared, and the sense of self-shaming really takes a toll on them.
Right. David Futrell, let me just turn back to you for a quick second here, because I asked Sam Louie sort of what the response has been from other so-called incels. I mean, you've been looking at the online chatter following Toronto. What have you seen?
It's pretty disturbing. I mean, there are a number of people. I mean, there are a number of people who are simply cheering it on, who think it was great, who are posting pictures or information about the victims and mocking them, and saying, and you know, some of them have already declared Manassian to be a new incel saint and hero. One of the sites I looked at, one of the popular message boards, someone had posted a little photo of a shrine that they had made to him with a picture of him and a little votive candle in front of it. But the other aspect of it is that they feel that somehow that they are still the victims in all of this, that now people are going to go after them and try to shut their forums down, or that they're going to misrepresent them and so on and so forth. And it comes back always, as I think it does in their ideology, all, you know, more generally, to them feeling like they're the victims in almost any circumstance.
Yeah. So then they feel their victimization further compounded, right? When their online forum communities get closed down. Sam Louie, I mean, that gets me back to what I think is sort of one of the fundamental questions here is, so we have this challenge of toxic masculinity to begin with, further distilled on the internet. I mean, how, when people can enter an online world that essentially closes them off from the rest of the world, how can you break through that?
Well, I think that's very hard to break through, because if you go onto some of these message boards, they will single you out for being, quote, a normie, which is like a normal person, and no normies allowed or no women allowed. So anything that goes contrary to what they believe is going to be met with significant resistance or expulsion. Now, obviously, I have the opportunity, if they decide to come in, and it doesn't have to be a formal therapy session, because some people might want to break out of this, and maybe they have other men that they finally want to confide in, or role models, or peers, and be willing. That's the critical piece. Is somebody willing to let somebody else speak into them and challenge some of these beliefs? The toxic masculinity, I think one huge contributing factor is just how they even view masculinity that makes it toxic. Part and parcel to the whole incel movement is the pickup artist piece. Are you familiar with that? They're also known as by the acronym PUA.
Uh-huh. Well, I actually am not, but hang on here for a second. We have to take a break, and maybe when we come back, Sam, you can finish that thought and tell us what you're talking about. We're talking about in so-called incels in the wake of the Toronto van attack and toxic masculinity on the internet. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I'm joined by Sam Louie, a psychotherapist in Seattle, Washington, and by David Futrell, a journalist in Chicago who's been tracking this movement for quite some time. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
What's unique about the human experience, and what do we all have in common? I'm Guy Raz. Every week on TED Radio Hour, we go on a journey through the big ideas, emotions, and discoveries that fill all of us with wonder. Find it on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. We're talking about so-called incels and the rise of super toxic masculinity on the internet and its deadly implications now in the real world following the Toronto van attack. I'm joined today by David Futrell. He's a journalist joining us from Chicago who's been covering these groups for quite some time on his website, We Hunted the Mammoth, and by Sam Louie, a psychotherapist in Seattle. And Sam, before the break, you were telling us something about pickup artists and how, or quote-unquote pickup artists, and how they factor into this world of incels. I just wanted to let you answer. Tell us a little bit more.
I think it all ties into this belief of toxic masculinity, because society, another contributing factor is because of the shift in how society views sex. I grew up in an era where as recently as two decades ago, if you didn't have sex until you got married, nobody looked at you any differently. But nowadays, think about the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin, which was tongue-in-cheek, sure, but you can amplify the pressure and rename that now to the 20-year-old virgin, because in some of these message boards, they will tell you if you have not had sex before you left high school, you're defective to the core.
Hmm.
And what that leads to is a culture where you are shamed. They call it virgin shaming. So you're shamed for being a virgin. And that was quite the opposite. When I grew up, you may have been shamed for having sex. So now it's gone the other direction. And with that shift, we have folks like who espouse the pickup artists and some of their language, some of the terminology. SMV stands for sexual market value. So you are taught, or they're indoctrinated, maybe a better word, these impressionable young men, that you have a certain sexual market value based a lot on your looks, also on how you can play the game, so to speak, in terms of getting a woman in bed, that may be intertwined also with status and wealth. So, I mean, part and parcel, there's nothing wrong with having a high status in society or having wealth, but how people define masculinity has been so skewed.
Exactly. Sam Louie, a psychotherapist based in Seattle who specializes in behavioral addictions and has written the article The Incel Movement, The Sexual, Social, Recreational, and Racial Implications. Sam Louie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Meghna.
You know, there's so much comment online about this conversation we're having. Julia Campbell sent us this tweet saying, why are we normalizing these so-called incels rather than just calling them unhinged, entitled, misogynistic, violent hate groups? Their thoughts, views, and actions are not normal. This is not normal. Imagine how it feels for women. Well, let's take a call here. Laura is calling from Dayton, Ohio. You're on the air, Laura.
Hi, Magna. I have one comment and a question. My husband has recently started reading and watching, you know, these views on YouTube and reading blogs, and it's whittled its way into some of our arguments to the point where he accuses me of hating men, and I'm like, I'm married to a man. and he's definitely not involuntary, and you know,
yeah,
involuntary celibate. But how do I combat that? And I think combat is the wrong word, but how do I steer him away from that kind of thinking?
Laura, thank you so much for your call. David Futrell, do you have an answer for her?
Unfortunately, I don't really. It's one of the most frustrating things in dealing with these communities, and particularly with the incel community, is how absolutely resistant they are to anyone challenging them at all. You know, on some of the message boards that are at least on the Reddit message boards that are sort of connected to a larger site that isn't, you know, entirely devoted to this sort of thing. There are a lot of people who come in and try to argue with the incels and say, you know, clearly you're dealing with depression or dealing with something, or, you know, you could obviously benefit from therapy. And the reaction of the incels is to, you know, rail against them and just absolutely refuse to do anything about that. On the flip side, though, the fact is that for a lot of these guys, eventually they are going to have a moment where they kind of it kind of hits them, and they can step back and say, "Wait a minute, this stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not based in reality, and it's making my life worse. And maybe I can step back from that and
yeah." But
David,
move
on. And so I do see people like that.
Yeah. Can I just jump in here for a second? And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I keep coming back to, like you said a little earlier in the show, that like your worst fears about how the misogynistic rhetoric that they use online is spilled over into the real world. And, you know, so I'm thinking about that comment that I read from Julia Campbell, who says, "Why are we normalizing so-called incels?" And I mean, to that point, I haven't yet come out and said, like, is this a terrorist act that happened in Toronto? I mean, the FBI definition of terrorism is the unlawful use of violence against persons or property to intimidate or coerce a government, the civilian population, or any segment thereof in furtherance of political or social objectives. So do the incels have a social objective here to punish women, subjugate women? And if so, why isn't Toronto a terrorist attack?
Oh, it absolutely is a terrorist attack.
Okay.
I mean, I think people have understand that racist hate or religious hate, you know, can be a motivation for terrorism, but they don't always accept that misogyny is also a hate ideology, just like anything else. And so, yeah, it absolutely is terrorism. I think what makes it a little bit more complicated is that the political objectives of these groups are not very clear. And particularly with the incels, it's a very dark and nihilistic sort of philosophy. So they don't even have like a goal other than to kind of punish the people that did them wrong. I mean, when Manassian talks about, you know, the incel uprising, or we'll overthrow the Chads and the Stacys, it doesn't make any sense, because what are they going to do? How do you overthrow large groups of people who are just existing in their regular life?
Yeah.
I mean, there is no clear political goal other than to sort of inflict pain on the people that they think deserve it.
David, stand by here for just a second, because I do want to bring in just
sure.
one more person here. Tula Dramonis, she's joining us from Montreal. She's a Montreal-based writer, editor, and columnist. We have a link to her article, "The Deadly History of Gender Violence in California." Gender Violence in Canada. That link is at onpointradio.org. Tula, welcome to On Point.
Thank you for having me.
So just tell me how you see what's happened in Toronto, again, in the broader context of these so-called incels here. I mean, What's your reaction? Where do you think we ought to be focusing our attention right now?
I think we need to be focusing on acknowledging what it is. I think you can't fight what you don't acknowledge. And there seems to be this real strange reticence to refer to it as a hate crime, as terrorism. And that's exactly what it was. I mean, it was gender-based violence. It was indoctrinated via the internet. And the outcome was deadly. Misogyny is an ideology. And I live in a city where 29 years ago, the Montreal massacre happened. I'm not sure if you're aware of what that is, but in 1989, Marc Le Pen walked into a classroom at Montreal's École Polytechnique, which is an engineering school. He separated the men from the women. And after declaring that feminism had ruined his life, he basically opened fire on the women, killing 14 and injuring another 10. Mm-hmm. And yet people to this day are hesitant to call it a hate crime. They still question it. Some people will say that feminists hijacked the event for their own purposes. I mean, he couldn't have spelled it out more for you, and we're still questioning his motives. And while the Manassian case is not as clear-cut as the Marc Le Pen case was, he also made it very clear where his allegiance lied, what his motives was, the fact that he was paying homage before going on this deadly spree to Elliot Rodger, who is a mass murderer who also hated women. And we're still questioning. We're still sitting here going, what were his motives? There's a parody site in Canada, which is, I guess, the equivalent of The Onion, called The Beaverton. And they wrote a piece yesterday titled Motives of Man Who Clearly Stated His Motive Unclear. Huh. And it's making, you know, fun of the fact that people are so hesitant to call it what it is.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I personally, you know, and David just said it as well, I have no problem calling this a terrorist attack because it was an act of terror aimed at a specific group of people. But, you know, I don't think it's necessarily wrong to try to understand the motives behind the attack, right? Because if we're going to push back against the forces that brought the suspect to the place where he decided it was perfectly fine to mow down a couple of dozen people in Toronto, we ought to understand how and, you know, and why that happened, Tula, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can't ignore how there are a lot of young men right now that are being radicalized online, and not in the so-called, you know, quote-unquote, traditional ways that a lot of people have learned to equate terrorism with, let's say, Islamist terrorism. There are a lot of alt-right, a lot of the forums that were mentioned earlier by your other guests, these, you know, the incel groups and these pickup artists on Reddit and 4chan. They're dangerous. They're extremely dangerous. I went to look at some of these sites just for my own research, and they're vile. It's vile. Outright hate. I mean, Southern Poverty Law Center has called them a hate group, and they're gathering information on them. And if you look at some of these messages, I don't understand where it's coming from, but you're absolutely right. It needs to be understood.
Yeah. So let's take a call here. Tom is calling from Frederick, Maryland. You're on the air, Tom.
How you doing, Magnus?
I guess I'm okay. What's your thought?
Yeah. Well, thank you for approaching this topic. It's kind of near and dear to my heart. Toxic masculinity is nothing new. The term has been coined as of recent, but it's been going on for a long time. And unfortunately, in our country, you know, the most prime example we have of a male role model is toxic masculinity. And the good news is that there's organizations out there, men's communities, that are trying to work with men and break this paradigm.
Yeah.
I belong to a community called the Mankind Project, and we also have within the Mankind Project, we have an organization called Boys to Men. So it's about positive male role models and trying to break this paradigm of what it means to be a man and this toxic masculinity. And I'm very sad that it's taken this turn and it's come to terrorism.
But Tom, let me just jump in here because I want to turn your question to our guest here. David Futrell, can projects like Tom was talking about, the Mankind Project, can they reach the young men who become part of this incel group?
I think potentially groups like that can help, and I think that there are people online who are talking about this and who are, you know, challenging these ways of thinking that can also help. There's a a guy who does a show called Dr. Nerdlove, who often deals with these sorts of issues, and is someone who previously was a pickup artist and sort of broke free of that and challenges a lot of the assumptions that things like the pickup artist community and also incels and so on bring to the world of dating. And so I think that there are a lot of people out there who are talking about these things if these guys who are in the incel communities can kind of break free a little bit and open up to these different perspectives, I think that they can help quite a lot.
Yeah. Tula Dramonis, let me turn back to you here. I just want to, keen-eared listeners might have noticed that throughout this hour, I have not said the name of the suspect in Toronto. I generally tend to try to avoid saying the specific names of these people following attacks because, you know, the fame that surrounds it. I have no idea if whether or not that's part of why they do what they do. But I do wonder, you know, as we grapple with these communities that have such misogynistic and such virulent conversations within the confines of their online worlds, as we grapple with how and who they are, we ought to be careful with in terms of how we talk about it, because that stuff can metastasize, it's the best word I can come up with, you know, into real life. Tula, are you still there?
I'm here. I'm trying to understand what do you mean?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that in terms of as we try to understand what has happened and how it's happened, how we talk about it in public spheres,
sure.
Perhaps we need to be a little careful about it.
I don't, as a journalist myself, I don't necessarily have a problem mentioning these people. I think that the average normal person will not be affected in any way, obviously. I think it's important to discuss this. I mean, I don't think the average person is glorifying any of
right.
this in any possible way. So there's no danger. It's these sites themselves that we need to be looking at, and that these people, you know, these sites are serving as sounding boards and amplifying this hate that is already there. They're normalizing it. It's not the, you know, mainstream media that is in any way normalizing any of this, or the average person. I think we need to target these specific sites and these boards and to take them seriously. I don't think, as your previous guest said, I don't think that a lot of these men are irredeemable and beyond help, but I do think that it's not as simple as, you know, suggesting that we be a little kinder to them or we pat them on the back or, you know, why is it that the vast majority of these killings that are taking place, of these mass murders, are young men?
Mm.
We need to be asking these, why are women not out there shooting people left and right?
Yeah.
We obviously have a problem with toxic masculinity and it needs to be addressed. And I'm not saying that men in this current society don't have their issues and, you know, these are changing times, and as women are gaining more rights, this is part of this backlash.
Right. Well, Tula Dramonis, Montreal-based writer, editor, and columnist, thank you so very much for joining us. It's much appreciated.
Pleasure. My pleasure.
And David Futrell, journalist who tracks the manosphere, including incel groups on his website, We Hunted the Mammoth. David, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.